Amen. All right. Hallelujah. I got to turn my screen. There we go. All right. Here we go. Go with me to John chapter 13. Hallelujah. I've been talking about the love of God. And unfortunately, we found out that we had kind of a technical snafu. And so last week's message did not get recorded. So normally this is where I say, what you haven't heard of the message, go back and catch up with us. But you won't be able to do that. Not yet. We found out there is a way that we can maybe get it off of the video and maybe put it on our website that way. So we're going to look at that maybe this week. So maybe you can go back and get that. We'll let you know. But anyway, but here we are today, and we're going to talk about how love serves. Love serves. Last week we talked about loving one another, what it looks like to love one another. You know, and you say, man, PK, I don't know. Man, I try to love people, but I just can't do it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. The Bible says on the day that you gave your life to Christ, in Romans chapter 5, it says, the day you gave your life to Christ, God poured his love into you by the Holy Spirit. So either you're right or God's right. I'm going to go with God. Right? God says he poured his love into you. I believe he poured his love into you. And so that means you can do it. You know what? Another scripture, the Bible says that the love of God constrains us. So in other words, what does that mean? That means when you're wanting to lash out in vengeance, that the love of God constrains you. It says, no. Well, let me tell you what I think. I think I love you, and I bless you, and I'm going to go do something good for you. Amen. Right? So the love of God, even when we start to respond in the flesh, the love of God constrains us. All of a sudden you're like, oh, the love of God, the love of God. Okay, and then you start responding with the love of God. Amen? That's what the love of God does. Amen? All right, so let's look at this. John chapter 13 and verse 34. All right, here we go. It says this. It says, Jesus is speaking. He says, so now I am giving you a new commandment. Everybody say commandment. Amen. Say a commandment is not a suggestion. So if Jesus says he gives us a commandment, what should we do? Follow that commandment, right? Hallelujah. So now I am giving you a new commandment, love each other. Now listen to these next words. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. So you know what that tells me? That tells me that I don't get to define what love is as the way I treat people. See, he told me, as I have loved you, you should love one another. What's the implication? Without Jesus getting too wordy, what he was saying, just as I have loved you, you need to love other people just like I loved you. The same way, right? So we need to keep that in mind. Why? Because love never condemns. Love never condemns. And we endeavor around here to never, ever speak condemnation. We endeavor to preach, teach, communicate that we're condemning anybody. We do the best we can. Now, if we ever make a mistake, I want to know about it because I want to correct that. And why do I say it that way? Because for years and even generations, the church has grown up with some old school hellfire, brimstone, you're going to hell. We preach sin consciousness. Not us, but that's what it's been. That's what religion has done over the years. And so some of us may be ingrained with some stuff that we're still working on weeding out. Right? I got a hold of this love message. I'm like, oh man, I got to get rid of that sin consciousness. So we don't, around here, we don't preach against anything. We preach for something. Don't go around, don't live your life being against everything. Be for something. Right? Don't be focused on how much, we're just against killing babies. No, we are for saving babies' lives. Because if you're only against something, then your mind's always about what you're against, and then it creates this animosity. Now you got this bitterness towards the people that you're against. See, we want to be for something. Are we against killing babies? Yes, but I am for saving babies. Right? I'm not against the LGBTQ letters community. Sometimes I get the, it's not a lot of letters. We love them, but it's a lot of letters. I'm not, it's not that I'm against them. I'm for them realizing who Christ created them to be so they can live in the freedom that God has for them. If we can get them to living that way, they'll walk right out of the LGBTQ. We're not against them. We're for them coming to know who they are in Christ Jesus, what God created them to be. And how about, what if we just went around loving people right out of darkness? Not condemning them because they're in it. Listen, even if you're here today and you go out, you make a mistake. And this is a big problem in churches, and this is what happens. Is somebody, they're coming to church. I can already tell I'm not going to get through my whole message today. Okay. But people come to church, and then they give their life to Christ, and then maybe they go off and they do something, you know, because they don't realize, a lot of the body of Christ just don't realize people's minds have to be renewed. Your spirit was saved, but your flesh wasn't. Paul said, I crucify my flesh daily. I mean, the apostle Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And this man says, I crucify my flesh daily. Right? So if a person's not careful, they give their life to Christ, but then they go and then they slip, then they realize, oh man, I can't believe it. I can't even face the pastor anymore. I can't face my church family anymore. And so then they don't come back. And in some churches, sadly to say, when some of the church people do find out what they did, then they browbeat them and they scold them. How could you let that happen? Why did you go off and do that? The Bible says Jesus himself said, go into all the world and condemn as many people as possible. No, that's not what he said. He said, go into all the world and preach the good news. What is good news to someone that falls? The Bible says, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Right? Even those, you elite ones that think you're so much, be careful lest you fall. Right? So it's about loving people. Loving people right into the kingdom. And listen, you go out and you make a mistake, come on back in here. We're not going to, that doesn't mean we agree with the mistakes you make. But we just don't condone it. But it also means that we're not going to browbeat you. We're not going to scold you. We're not going to condemn you. We're not going to criticize you. Because why? Love doesn't condemn. Love goes, that's okay. You just keep staying on up in here with us. We're just going to keep on loving you. We're going to keep on teaching you. And we'll teach you right out of that mess. That's what the love of God does. Jesus did not go around condemning anyone. Remember what the woman that was caught up in adultery? Got up there and all these people ready to stone her. And then he gets down and he starts doodling in the sand. I don't know if he pointed an arrow at that guy and wrote out his sin. Pointed an arrow at that guy, wrote out his sin. You know, I don't know what he wrote, but whatever it was he wrote, the people looked at it. And one by one, the Bible says they begin to drop their stones. And he goes to the woman, he says, where are your condemners? Where are your accusers? She looks, she says, there are none. He says, neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more. In other words, in today's vernacular, he would say, neither do I condemn you, but let me show you there's a better way of living. Follow me. Amen. That's what love does. Love restores. Love does not condemn. Amen. When I read this in John 13, when he says this about, so now I am giving you a new commandment, love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. And he goes on to say, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. What that says to me is that love, God's love, is not a verbal, just a verbal love. God's love is a demonstrated love. It's a love that is in love in action, right? So he says, go into all the world and preach the good news. So here's the deal. it's not what a person does that is really the issue, is it? See, we can go around and we can try to teach modified behavior. Come on, you need to stop doing that. You need to stop doing that. You need to stop doing that. We can try to modify their behavior, but how many know if you don't change their heart, it's not going to change their behavior? They may get it right for a moment, but it's then they fall right back into the groove they were in before. But if we can just love them, so it's really not about what the person does, is it? We really shouldn't look at someone when they make a mistake and go, I can't believe you sinned. What we need to do is when we see that is realize, oh man, there's a heart issue going on. How can we help them to have the right heart about this? See, the Bible says to love God and hate sin. I believe if we can get people to loving God and realizing that God loves them so much, that it'll change their behavior. Amen. They're not going to want it anymore. Heather and I call it changing your wanter. Changing your wanter. We get the Holy Spirit involved and we just allow the love of God just to wash them, just flood them with the love of God. It'll make them not even want to do that anymore. Amen. Glory to God. How many know that love is not communicated by words? So just, in other words, and just saying I love you does not mean that you're walking in love with them. I just love you. Love you, bless you. The Bible says don't tell someone be warmed and filled when you have the means to help them. Right? Be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Because by being a hearer only, then you're just deceiving yourself. You're not even the devil don't even have to deceive you. You're deceiving yourself, right? So we want to help people deal with the heart issue. So we're just going to love people till they get past their issues. Amen? Isn't that better? Isn't that better than creating conflict? Now, true enough, sometimes love is firm and love corrects. The Bible says those God loves, he corrects. Some people, they hear the word correction. Oh, God's going to correct me? Oop, I'm out of here. Come on, don't you know that, remember, God is love. So when God corrects, he does it in a loving way. God cannot, it is absolutely impossible for God to correct in a harsh, mean, I don't care about you attitude. God can't do it because God is love. He has faith, he has power, but he is love. If we want to be like God, then we're going to be in love children of a love God. So you can't be mean to people and call yourself a Christian because the very nature of Christianity is to love. Amen? All right. Isn't that good? That was good enough right there. I could let you go, but I'm not going to. We're not done. Love one another as I have loved you. You should also love one another. Let's go to John chapter 15. Just flip a page to the... Flip one more page to the right and you should be there. John chapter 15 and verse 13, it says this. It says, there is no greater love than to lay one down one's life for one's friends. Now, was Jesus, did he not exemplify that or what? Now he's not asking you to go out and find somebody to die for, right? But he's saying real love is willing to lay down one's life. A real love is willing to be unselfish. It's willing to think about somebody else more than yourself. Amen. Jesus thought more about us than he thought about what he was going to have to go through. Right? And I think a lot of us, we kind of get that. And it's like, this is kind of like the way it goes. It's like, yeah. Oh, now that PK said that, I see that. I know, but not everybody usually doesn't do that anyway. So, okay, let's move on. Let's talk about something else. But no, Jesus said it. If Jesus said it, how many know it? It's valid. Even if the Bible says it, but I'm just saying it's red letters, baby. Red letters. You know, I was in prayer this past Tuesday morning, just in here, just walking back and forth praying, spending time with the Lord, and the Lord began to speak to me along these lines. And this is some of the things he said to me. He says, do you remember when you needed rescued? He says, and what happened? I rescued you. He says, now go rescue others. I needed rescued. I got rescued. Now I'm supposed to rescue. Or you could say it this way. And this is another way he put it to me. He says, you needed help. You got helped. Now help others. See, that's what we should be doing with this amazing gospel of Jesus Christ. We needed the gospel. We got the gospel. We needed saved. We got saved. Now we should be giving the gospel and helping others to get saved. Right? We needed healed. We got healed. Now it's time to heal others. Right? Tommy Barnett, amazing minister of the gospel. He's down in Arizona. Him and his son is the one that started all the dream centers, the dream team dream centers. He said this one time. He says, find a hurt and heal it. Find a need and meet it. See, that's what the body of Christ, we should be doing. God never meant for church to be a bless me club, where we just come in on Sunday, we get preached up, jacked up, pastor comes in and juices us up, tell us how the victorious life we can have, and then we're just looking for victory for ourselves. No, we needed victory. He gave us victory. Now it's time for us to help others get the victory. Amen? That's what the love of God is all about. Amen. We needed God. We got God. Now it's time for us to give God away. Amen. That's a beautiful thing. God's the one thing you can give away and never lose him. You can give him away, and then the moment you give him away, you still have just as much. In fact, when you give God away, the moment you give him away, you have more of him than you gave away. You have more of him in that moment than you had before you gave him away. Amen? Isn't that good? Man, I'm having a good time. I don't know about you. Look at Galatians chapter 2. I got to hurry because there's a point I want to get to, if I can make it. Galatians chapter 2, let's kind of run through a few scriptures real quick just to give you the word. How many know that, if you say things are scriptural, there's something you got to have? Scripture. If it's Bible, you got to have Bible to back it up. Amen? All right, man. We are a Bible-believing scripture. We're constantly saying around here, where's the scripture? Don't give me your opinion. Don't give me your thoughts. Just your ideas. Where's the scripture to back it up? Because if you don't got no scripture for it, you ain't got nothing but an empty balloon. Right? Just a shell without nothing in it. All right? So let's, Galatians chapter 2. All right? You there? Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Let's look at this. It says, Paul said, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, to love one another. As I have loved you, you should love one another. Well, how did Jesus love? Who loved me and gave himself for me. Gave himself for me. So if you're truly walking in the love of God, your life will be a life that is, Paul said it this way, I gladly spend my life for you. What did he say? I gladly. So you got some people that they try to walk in love and they sacrifice, but they make sure that everyone around them knows that they are sacrificing to love you. I'm just here to be a blessing to you. Let me tell you what I had to give up so I could be a blessing to you. And we make it sound like, oh, the poor thing, you had to give up so much. That's not what Paul said. He says, I gladly. I told you last week, the greatest expression of love is to give. I'm going to add two words to it. The greatest, and it'll still be just as true, the greatest expression of love is to give to others. To others. To love others. And be glad about it. Right? In other words, you're going to love them and you're going to like it. Right? That's the attitude we want. It is a blessing. The Bible says it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. So I'm going to do it with joy. With joy. It is going to be a delight. In fact, we're going to get to that scripture in just a little bit. But he says here, he says, where was I? Verse 20. 2:20. So he says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. So he's talking about crucifying the flesh and his old ways of thinking. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. Well, who is Christ? That's Jesus, the Son of God's love, the Son of love himself, right? So if we've got Christ, we've got love. And like I said, God has poured his love into us. But I also said last week, love is like a muscle. Each one of us were born with muscles. Some you can go through life and have bare minimum, or you can go through life, go to the gym, do some work, do some things that put, you know, pressure against those muscles, and it causes them to grow and be stronger. So love is also like a muscle. So it's a spiritual muscle that we and how many know that every day we're given the opportunity to bench it? People put the pressure on your love muscle every day. Traffic puts the, just this morning I got to bench some traffic. Picking up my mom, I'm on my way here. And in my mind, I'm thinking, when are people going to read the manual, learn the rules of the road? But what I have to do is just sit there calmly and go, that's okay. I'll get there. I'm going to love these people. I'm not going to cut them off. Because as sure as I do that, they'll follow me right to the parking lot, and then I'll have to answer for that action. Right? So no, I'm going to walk in love. I'm not going to honk my horn. I'm not going to give them browbeating. I'm not going to give them mean faces. And I'm not even going to throw my hand up because they might think I did something else. Right? I'm going to walk in love. But every day we have opportunities with our family. Come on, me and Heather give each other opportunities to walk in love every day. Right? We have a great, I'm telling you, we have a fantastic relationship, better than it's ever been. And it's been awesome for a while. But we still have those moments where I could, you know, scold her, she could scold me, but we choose to walk in love. So every moment, every day, we have opportunities that come. And it's like the pressure on, it's like the weight on the bar. We've got the pressure. Are we going to push it up to develop the muscle? Or are we going to go, I can't do this. Somebody get this weight off of me. Right? All right. I think you got the point. Okay. But he says here, it's no longer I, but it's Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Go to Romans chapter 12. We are a word church. We believe in the word, so we give you plenty of it. All right? Okay, I got to hurry. Okay, here we go. Read this, share a little bit, and then we'll go. Here it is. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. It says, well, let me read verse 9 too. Verse 9 says, don't just pretend to love others. Come on. Some people, they pretend to love, but they don't really, they're not really loving. I'm being nice to you because of who's seeing me right now, but man, if it was just you and me, I'd give you a piece of my mind. I would retaliate in a different way. Right. He says, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Now watch verse 10. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. I like that. Take delight. Love each other and take delight. Love each other and enjoy it. Realize that, man, you are expressing God Himself to people. Man, I am not going to let my flesh dominate me. I'm going to release God right into their life. Amen. Isn't that good? Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. All right. Verse 4. Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4. It says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. See, that's the love of God in action. We're talking about loving others. Love serves. Love prefers. Love gives to others. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, go to John chapter 13. Oh, yeah, here we go. I got there. Okay, here real quick. John chapter 13, this is so good. Right? All right, John chapter 13, starting in verse 4. Now, this is, they're at the Last Supper. This Jesus is, they're coming in for the Last Supper and all that kind of stuff. And it says, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that the hour had come and all this kind of stuff. In verse 1, it is verse 2, it is time for the supper, and the devil has already prompted Judas, blah, blah, blah. But let's pick it up in verse 4. It says, so here we are. So they're coming in. Jesus knew what the Lord had wanted him to do. And so he says here in verse 4, Jesus got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around them. Washing the disciples' feet. He could have said, Peter, come here, you're going to wash people's feet. James, John, you're going to wash people's feet. I am the master. I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is beneath me. I ain't touching their skanky feet. You're going to do it. But Jesus didn't argue with them. He didn't ask them. He did nothing. The Bible said, Jesus says, the greatest in the kingdom is the one who serves. Serves. Look at what Jesus did. It says, then he began to wash the disciples' feet. Now think about this. Now this is back in the day when they didn't have, you know, wood plank flooring and ceramic tile flooring and all the nice flooring that we have today. They didn't have closed-toed shoes and nice socks and all this stuff to keep their feet nice and clean. I don't have to go in and take my shoes off in my house and have Heather wash my feet. Good thing, because she wouldn't touch my feet. I can't even get her to massage my feet with socks on. That's okay. I'm still getting healing over that. But see, we don't have to do all that today. But think about this. I mean, so here Jesus, and this is something that the Lord revealed to me. Watch this. Jesus is washing their feet. What were their feet? Their feet represented and is, how many know your feet is the lowliest, dirtiest, back in that day, part of a person's body. In other words, what Jesus, and he goes on to tell him, I'm teaching you a lesson here. He wants us to care about the dirtiest and lowliest part of people's lives. And he says, are you willing to wash them? Now, back in the day, I remember, I don't know about you guys, but I remember back in the day when I was growing up in church, man, we had some foot washing services. Remember that? And I remember I had to sit there and I had to wash brother so-and-so's skanky feet. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know if I'm getting anything out of this. I know you did it. But I didn't get the message, man. All I knew is I was told I had to sit there with a towel and wash his feet. It's like, dude, you could have taken better care of those feet before you brought them to me. You know? But what's the message? Jesus is not telling you that necessarily you have to go and find somebody's feet to wash them. What he is saying is, do you care about the dirtiest and the lowliest part of society? Do you care about the dirtiest, lowliest part of people's lives? That's what they needed help with. And that's what Jesus did. Let's continue to read. He says in verse 6, when Jesus came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will. No, Peter protested. I protested. Not just, no, Lord, you don't have to do that. He goes, no, uh-uh. I know what my feet smell like. No, I don't know. I don't know why he said that. A little ad lib there, right? But he said, no, you will never, ever wash my feet. Jesus replied, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. Simon Peter exclaimed, then wash my hands and my head as well, Lord, not just my feet. How many know sometimes you got to know when you're wrong and it's time to answer right? Right? And Peter's like, okay, oh, I definitely want to be a part of you, so here, wash everything. Right? Amen. All right. Let's jump down to verse 12. It says, after washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord. You are right because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. Amen. So really what Jesus is communicating, see, we all got, most of us have shoes and socks, so it's not about what, it's not about the act of, okay, we got to go and wash the feet. Do we care about the lowliest, dirtiest part of people's lives? How can we help them? It takes love to do that. It's walking in the love of God with people. Read one more verse and then I'm done. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. Galatians 5:13 says, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. To serve one another in love. We've been made free, but not to indulge upon our own selfish desires. We've been made free so we can help others get free. We've got to love people. Just love them. Here's the beautiful thing. You've already got that love on the inside of you. See? You may need to work it a little bit more. And maybe when you had those opportunities to press against what was pressed, testing your love walk, you just gave in to your selfish or your own desires, right? But that can change this week. You're going to have an opportunity today after you leave here. Hopefully not before you leave here, but if you do, if someone says or does something that presses your love button, just Push out another rep. Come on. Come on. Bring it down. Somebody cut you off in traffic. Glory to God. Love you. Right? Continue to work that love muscle. Get that thing to where you're maxed out, man, and it's like, oh, man, you're going to find out that the day will come when that thing ain't going to bother you near as much. I didn't say it would never bother you, but it won't bother you near as much as it used to. Now you're on to bigger and better things. Amen. Listen, people need you when they need you, not just when it's convenient for you. They need you when you, how many know sometimes somebody calls and they need something. It's like, oh, I just got home. Just got my shoes kicked off. I don't ever kick my shoes off. That was just a good thing to say. Just got home. Just sat in my chair. Eating my Cheerios. Man, I'm comfy. Thought I was done for the day. Hey, PK. Yeah, I'll be right there. Why? Because we love people. People need you when they need you, not just when it's convenient for you. And yes, walking in love sometimes is inconvenient. But I thank God for people who are willing to be inconvenienced to show love to others. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? You want to stand up on your feet.